Hello everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Just thought I'd say I've opened up a new website. My old website, understandingcommerce.110mb.com, was shut down by 110mb. Please, if you want to try and access it, yeah, but the new one is much better. And I think they could have shut it down with some of the things that I put on the podcast, but luckily the podcasts were hosted somewhere else, and I've still got the original MP3s, so we're not going to end up losing them, unless the unless MI6 hack into my computer. So, I'd just like to say, new website has video, it has audio, it has a document library, it has links, it has articles, regular articles that I'll post on there, taken from my old blog, and it's a valuable resource. If any of you have watched any of the Creditors in Commerce podcasts or any of the sort of other commercial redemption stuff, and they've told you about certain documents, you'll probably find most of the documents you're looking for in there. It's got stuff like some old classic redemption documents like Modern Money Mechanics, which basically explains the banking system. And there's also the Secret Banker's Manual. There's a document entitled Primer on Money, which is a bit like a it's a different version of Modern Money Mechanics, basically. It was written by I think it's a congressman, and he was writing about it a while ago. It's a bit like Modern Money Mechanics, except obviously it's his view. It's nice to listen to different views. Although, the reason I like Modern Money Mechanics so much is because it is the Federal Reserve official publication, so you can be sure that that's all factual stuff in there. There's also another document called How Banks Create Money, which is actually just shows sort of the loan process that goes on. Not all of this is completely correct. I've sort of come to the point in my mind now where I'm fully convinced about how this banking thing works, so I'm not going to go into that too much. Suffice it to say, you need to read those documents. Modern Money Mechanics, Primer on Money, and How Banks Create Money. And if you want, you can read the Secret Banker's Manual, but that is quite a big publication. And there's another document in there called Web of Debt. It's actually a great big book that was printed, and it goes into huge detail about like the historical events regarding money and how they came to be and the sort of manipulation of money, and obviously how it is today. The Web of Debt is in the documents library on my new website. My new website, by the way, everyone, I haven't told you. My new website is understandingcommerce.weebly.com. So understandingcommerce.weebly.com. It's going to be a fantastic website. A lot of the content, like the videos, the audio, and the document library, is actually all hosted out off of the site, and I've done that for security reasons, so that if anyone shuts down the site, I'm not going to lose all my stuff. And I've also backed up all my documents to a secure server in my house, so all the content is safe. If anyone has any copyright issues and they would like me to take down any of those documents due to those reasons, then I'll be obliged to. But the thing is, I did find them on the internet just floating around for free, so other people have just distributed them, and I thought I'd do the same. But if anyone has any problems with that, then just contact me and I'll do it upon proof of claim that you're the author of the document or have some interest in it. Okay, so that's my website, understandingcommerce.weebly.com. As I said, fantastic website. Alright, now the main thing I'd like to go over today is a sort of correction a bit of what I've been seeing for the last few weeks, and it's regarding to trusts and basically your interactions with the government. I still maintain that the government is a foreign corporation, and so are all its agencies, like local government, the police, everything. They're all foreign corporations under the UK jurisdiction. And yes, I still maintain the UK is completely foreign. Great Britain is foreign. I've even found a website, sorry, a company, a limited company, or Companies House, which is a bit like an LLC in the US, called Great Britain Limited, and they've refused to give any information about that. By the way, that's another thing on my website. You can check out all my freedom of information requests. Just go to understandingcommerce.weebly.com and click on the FOI button on the menu bar. That'll take you to my freedom of information request page, where you can see all the things that I've asked the government officials. I'm currently waiting for some information on what assets are sold to the Bank of England by commercial banks, and also how the Royal Mint receives payment for its coins that it sells into the banks. I have learnt a lot through freedom of information requests, and I must thank the government for passing that act. So, UK is a foreign corporation, and if you're going to claim to be part of that corporation, then you're going to have certain obligations and benefit privileges. But the thing is, here's the important bit, and this is where I'm going to start off today. The man or woman cannot be under your UK jurisdiction. They can have nothing to do with the UK, because the UK is a fiction, and fictions only talk to other fictions. You need to keep a level playing field, right? So that's how they've got it. That's how they've set it up, man. People say, like, the US is not a country, it's a corporation. A country is, by nature, a corporation. A state is a fiction, okay? I've been trying to tell people this for a long time. A state is always a fiction. It doesn't have to be a registered company, okay? Because you only need to register a limited liability company if it's within the UK, not if it is actually the UK. You see what I mean? So, basically, all companies, all corporations are part of the UK, because they're registered with UK addresses, and obviously companies are fictions, so the UK can interact with them. So yes, they are under your UK jurisdictions, the companies. Just like companies need representatives and agents to represent them, because companies themselves are fictions, you are the agent for a company. Some people call it the straw man. I call it the limited liability trust, and the foreign situs trust are the two main trusts that we need to talk about here. And the first one is, I really should get on with this. Okay, so you have a trust diagram. Like, basically, you get a page, you draw a line across the middle horizontally, and you then draw three. You basically set up a page with a line through the middle, three boxes on top, three boxes on the bottom. And the top is what people refer to, patriots refer to as the old private trust. Now, the private trust is really tricky, because I don't actually believe it means that you're completely separate from the government, because the private trust is basically your name in upper and lower case, and that is still a fiction, and it is in the public, okay? So I'm not exactly sure what makes some people think that the private trust is separate from government, because the private trust, your name is created by the birth certificate. Your name legally is created by the birth certificate, and that is created in the public. Well, at least in the UK. I mean, the birth certificates are sent to the General Registry Office. So, and that is a UK government agency, local government agency. So, they're both public. But this is, I'm just going to tell you some of my observations. The upper lowercase name, upper lowercase straw man, tends to be the receiver of government benefit privileges. So on the diagram of the trust, that name would be the trustee of the private trust, I think. No, sorry, trust. That name would be the beneficiary of the public trust. And I found that the all caps name is used in commercial or financial dealings with the government, anything that involves money, and also when it's, and also that entity can be a trustee because it can pay taxes. Okay, the all caps entity is what pays taxes. And that's basically it, really. I mean, that is the straw man that pays taxes. So he's a trustee of the government, because he helps the government by paying them taxes. And the upper lowercase name tends to be, as I said, beneficiary. For example, I go to school, I get paid something called EMA. And that is obviously a benefit privilege. But because it's financial, because it involves money, that is what I found is to be the overriding thing. If it involves money, your name's probably going to be in uppercase. Now, I don't know if there's any uniformity to that. I might be completely wrong, but that is what I've found so far. And remember, I can only go on what I've found. Okay, so the upper lowercase name is still a fiction. They're all fictions. All names are fictions. And the UK government provides benefits to that, like schooling and, you know, education and voting. And they're all benefit privileges. I mean, some people might say tax is actually a benefit privilege, to pay tax. It could be. It could very well be. But I found that, overwhelmingly, the all caps name is used when dealing with the government in financial matters like taxes and receiving money from them, stuff like that. Because that is what you have to sort of fill in, I believe. And on an article on my website, I basically got... I can't remember the exact details of this, but I basically purchased some new glasses and I signed my name against something. And then there was another sheet where it said something about... Because you get discount vouchers from the NHS to buy, like, glasses and things. And I think it was for like, something... If you don't end up paying... It can take legal action. It didn't actually say that, but basically I signed my... I wrote my name in all caps and signed against it, and that is basically because that is a financial transaction there. What I'm going to be doing from now on is taking a close look at all documents that I can find from the government and seeing which ones have the all caps name on and which ones have the upper lowercase name, because I'm going to be making more distinctions about what those two names are. And I do believe they are separate. I don't think that the upper all caps is just used for taxes. I mean, the first time I ever saw my name in all caps wasn't actually when I got my national insurance number. It was before then. So, well, the national insurance number could have been established before I actually got the number card, or it could just be that that name isn't only used for taxes. It's just used for all commercial dealings, you know. It's difficult to work out what the differences between these two strawmen that the government use. But suffice it to say that all of them, the all caps and the upper lowercase strawman, my name, Matthew James Eccles, is a fiction and it exists in the UK jurisdiction. I think that's all I really need to say on that topic. You know, if you're in the public, you use that name. Like, if you're dealing with a company, you use that name. And even if you don't give it, they assume you're using a name like that. Yeah. And if they add Mr. to it, you know, that's just all custom, isn't it, really? I mean, they can add whatever they want to it, but it's still fiction. And now, just to clear up one final thing, I looked on my birth certificate, which obviously establishes the upper lowercase strawman fiction, and it says on it, Matthew James in upper lowercase, and then Eccles in all caps. And I was thinking, great, now I've got myself another problem and I have to find out what that means. But actually, it turns out that they do just put the last name of many people on many different documents, not just from the government, in all caps, just to distinguish it, because basically that name was all in one box on the form. And just so that people can tell which bit's the last name, which bit's the first name, they do the last name in all caps. So... I don't think there's much going on with that. But I will be reporting back. I will probably be doing videos on the public and private. Just look on my website, understandingcommerce.weebly.com. Weebly is spelt W-E-E-B-L-Y. That is my website. Just go on the video section and I'll be putting any useful videos on there. All videos are taken from my YouTube channel, Matthew376. So you can go on there as well and you'll find loads of stuff. The most important ones will be on the website, understandingcommerce.weebly.com. Thanks for listening. I'll get back to you soon, probably with a video. Might even get one done tonight. I just wanted to rant off a bit about the older, about my new website and a bit about the public and private. So thanks very much for listening. I'll see you soon. Goodbye.